last summer there was a huge launch at Ardna Crusha Power Station, where the former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar was joined by Minister for Enterprise Simon Coveney, also the Minister for Education Norma Foley, Minister for the Environment Eamon Ryan, at the publishing at the Ardna Crusha Hydroelectric Dam, the Shannon Task Force report produced by the Shannon Estuary Task Force, which, if you remember, was set up largely in response to concerns in the region of Kerry and Limerick and Clare about the refusal to put gas infrastructure in place or to support an LNG project on the North Kerry land bank, or the Shannon land bank and the North Kerry, of course, estuary, and concerns as well over the lack of urgency and the lack of development of the estuary as an economic driver in all sorts of different ways for the region. That report was published. It had a series of recommendations, and one of the recommendations was the government needs to get a move on with updating and reforming planning, developing, working with industry, and getting and using and tapping into the potential of offshore wind to transform our electricity infrastructure, reduce electricity prices for people in the area, and create long-term, sustainable, high-quality jobs for Kerry, Limerick and Clare, and the wider Southwest region and Midwest region in the country. As I said, it was all bells and whistles. Well, what do you make this morning of the comments of Barry O'Sullivan, who was chair of the Shannon Estuary Task Force, about what he sees as a total lack of urgency on offshore floating wind technology? He says other countries are stealing a march on us, and our government and our minister, Eamon Ryan, is putting things on the long finger and kicking the cans down the road in an unacceptable way. I spoke to him shortly before coming on air and got his view on how he sees things developing now, a number of months on from that launch.
Yes, Gerry, and thanks for the opportunity. Look, the first thing is the Shannon Estuary Economic Task Force. We were tasked by the government to look at opportunities for the region, and the single biggest opportunity is Atlantic wind. Right. Now, we see this as an economic opportunity. And we fear at the moment that the government's focus really is on domestic decarbonisation through the use of fixed offshore wind on the south coast. And we fear that we'll be left behind then, and we'll miss out on the technology and on the economic opportunity of floating wind. And if you think about, you know, what's happened in Ireland over the last 10, 15 years on onshore wind, we haven't really seen a huge economic benefit from that. You know, there's not a lot of people employed, you know, in the wind industry. We don't make any of them, any of the parts or anything like that. And the same is happening with fixed offshore wind, because, you know, we have been late to that industry. And we fear now that if we don't move now immediately on floating offshore wind, that the economic opportunity, the jobs, the investment and all of that could pass us by, because the reality is that there are a lot more countries around the world with access to deep water than countries with access to shallow water for the fixed offshore wind. So there's going to be a lot more competition, and we need to be out there in front. Otherwise, if we're at the back of the queue, as you know, you don't get the benefit.
And you're saying that Eamon Ryan has put this off till the 2030s, is that right?
Yeah, well, you see, we had agreement. The first step is to get zoning, if you will, to get an area of the ocean zoned so that developers can assess that and then, you know, plan their projects. And the zoning was to be, we had agreement that the zoning would be done by the end of this September. And from then, once the zoning is done, people can apply for their licenses, do their sea surveys and so on. That's been delayed out a number of years. The government's position now is that they're going to look at, they're going to review the possibility of accelerating a DMAP by the end of this year. Whereas last year they said they'd have it done by this September. Now, we were delighted to see the work on fixed offshore wind off the south coast. That's very much needed. You know, it should be accelerated, and I think the government is to be congratulated on that. And now they've shown they can do a DMAP in just over 12 months. But on the Atlantic side, they're now gone fully commercial. France is moving, Norway, Italy, right around the coastline of Europe, right? And we're not.
And yet we're constantly told, and we're told we have the resource, we're nearly in the best position geographically through the luck of where we are in the ocean and the amount of sea mass we have, that this is the ideal place for this sort of technology? Yeah.
We are, but the minister says then that the, you know, the Atlantic is very you know, harsh conditions, and that's correct. But the fact of the matter is that ESB are have approval on a wind farm off Malin Head in Scottish waters. So I don't think there's a huge amount of difference between the weather off Malin Head and the weather off Loophead.
Were you told at one stage by department officials, or I don't know by who, that the view is that offshore wind is too expensive and too risky, so we need more time to look at it?
Yes. And for right now, this minute, right, if you were to put up a wind farm in 2024, that is correct. But even with the best intentions in the world, right, with all of the work that's got to get done, it's going to be the early 2030s anyway, right? Our plan when we launched it last year was to bring power onshore by the end of 2032, and we're at least a year late now, right? So what matters is, what's the cost going to be in 2035? And we have access to a number of consultancy reports, one from Norway, one from Denmark, one from the UK, independent reports that all point that the cost of electricity coming from floating wind will be the same as that coming from fixed offshore wind, about 80, 90 euros a megawatt hour by 2035.
Yeah. And when you look then at that situation that you're pointing out, of the government saying it's too risky and we need more time, and yet you have a state-sponsored body like the ESB that's forging full steam ahead with a different country in similar waters close to Ireland. Yes, that doesn't seem to make any sense to me.
Yeah, they have actually two and Fair Juice, the ESB, right? We know great time for people in the ESB now. And they're also doing one off Shetland Islands, right? You know, and look at the map there, like, right, that's not exactly the Canary Islands either, right? So, there's harsh seas up around there. They're doing an even bigger one, a much bigger one, actually, up off the Shetland Islands. We're an economic task force, Charlie. We have no vested interest. We're not employed by anybody in the wind industry or anything like that. And we're actually not that interested in the technology even. What we're interested in is all of the things we can do if we bring large amounts of affordable green power onshore, and the economic benefits then in the industries that we can build, both Irish and foreign owned, it doesn't matter, and bring them to Ireland, and bring them to the west of Ireland. Because if you look at it, if you draw a line, Jerry, west of Limerick to Cork, right, and you, apart from the Estelas plant in Tralee, there isn't a whole lot of investment going in, we'll say, in the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Right? And part of the reason is that the infrastructure is at 50% of the European average.
Yeah. And that tells its own story.
And that's all part of the economic issues here. And the key to unlocking this, in our view, is Atlantic wind, where now we can, you know, we have a reason, and we can add value.
You bring the electricity in offshore, the power in offshore, but you also electrify the region where it lands in, which is the southwest, the Shannon Estuary.
And now you can bring large industries, we'll say, right, and and very high paid employment, we'll say, in very high tech industries using this power.
That's
the power we're interested in.
Yeah, and can I ask you just on that element, I suppose, of where things go from here? Is it your I know there was a discussion, call it an argument, call it a bump in the road, when the plan was being put together, about whether offshore wind was going to be plan-led or developer-led. And the department and the minister were very clear, no, it's going to be plan-led. We're going to be leading it from the front. Does the department, do the local authorities, do they have the expertise? We're hearing, and you're feeling this morning, they don't have the urgency anyway, but do they have the expertise to do that?
We fully agree with the minister on having a plan-led approach, right? Like, this is a huge economic transformation, and it needs to be planned, and planned in advance. But a plan needs to have a roadmap. It needs to have, you know, like if you're building a house, right? You know, you don't want the electrician turning up before the block there, right? You need to have a plan that everybody can, will say, that everybody can align to, and that people will invest in, because ultimately here, we need the technology and the money from abroad to do this. And people have choices, they can go elsewhere. So the plan needs to be credible, right? So we're also having a plan, but it needs to be a credible plan. And the first step is doing this zoning of the water, right? This is called a DMAP, a designated marine area plan. and really is, they draw a circle, if you will, right, out in the ocean and say you can do your surveys there. Now, that needs to be done by government. The Department of Housing actually own the legislation and have appointed DEC as the approved body, the competent body to do the work. But they can also appoint other bodies if they wish, right? And Clare County Council actually have a lot of expertise in this area, and they volunteered to do the work, but that wasn't approved by government. And we don't know why, like, right? There's no reason. In our view, it would be better to have the local authorities doing this work and have the public consultations locally. They'd be aware of the issues on the ground.
Yeah, because if you're going to get through planning and get through any concerns that look, you need people who live in those communities, who work in those communities,
absolutely,
who are right next to where the stuff will be landing, to make things move faster. Otherwise, you risk, which has happened God knows how often in this country with major infrastructure projects, bogged down in planning for years.
And to have, we'll say, good community involvement in it.
Yeah,
you know, right?
A feeling of ownership from the local communities that this is part of the plan for the area and will benefit everybody. And maybe, as you pointed out, Barry, do something to tackle the 35% higher than average electricity prices we're paying in this country.
Absolutely, right? Because, you know, part of that is scale, right? If we have more electricity, it'll be cheaper, right? It's just, you know what I mean, it's just simple economics, right? So, you know, we were very hopeful and, you know, Clare County Council, in partnership with Kerry County Council and Limerick County Council, did the estuary mapping there about 10 years ago, and they're going to refresh that anyway. And if they're going to do the foreshore D-maps, to us it makes sense for them to do the offshore D-map that, you know, that links to that foreshore D-map, because it's, you know, almost the whole thing, right? And you have the community involvement. You know, we want to protect the environment. We want to do the right thing. You know, we want to hand over, you know, we'll say County Kerry, County Limerick, County Clare, County Tipperary and Berechef, that we got it in our generation, right? So having the local, you know, authorities here doing this, where there's competent people, you know, we thought was a good idea. But that wasn't approved.
Yeah, yeah. Barry, look, I have an awful sense of deja vu when it comes to this. You carried out this report. I know you said you're not precious about it. You don't mind things being changed, but you want a sense of urgency and a sense of a plan going forward, which you're not seeing at the moment. There was an economic task force report carried out by Dennis Brosnan at the time. I think it was 10 to 15 years ago now. And, you know, not that much was done by governments afterwards to progress those plans or those ideas and the identification of the estuary as a vital economic tool for the future. Are you fearful this will go the same way? I know there are things happening, there are projects happening, there are planning permissions coming in for power plants. There are bigger questions here as well, Barry, about port infrastructure in Kerry, in Clare, in Limerick as well, and how that's developing to get ready. But an overall sense that we're not ready. Other countries are coming, are moving much quicker than us, and if we don't get a move on, we will lose out majorly.
Look, Jerry, I'd always be hopeful, right? There are plenty of opportunities here, right? Ultimately, you know, what do we want to do? There's a migration from rural Ireland to Dublin and even abroad, and Atlantic Wind is the one opportunity we have to reverse the migration. The reality is, there's more career opportunities in Dublin for country people than there is in the country for Dublin people, right? The migration is all the time to the east or to the cities like Limerick and Cork. This is the one opportunity we have to change it. It'll take a couple of decades, but we need to start now because, as I say, our fear is that we lose the opportunity. You know, we'll say with fixed onshore wind, right? There are no factories here making wind turbines, yet there's about $5 billion invested in Ireland in wind turbines.
Yeah.
Vestas have 30,000 people in Denmark. They have 100 people in Ireland. You need to be at the beginning of these industries and these technologies.
Yeah, and there are companies here who are doing it. There are companies who are involved in maintenance, they're employing people, but not at the scale and the number that you might have if you get an early move status on developing floating offshore wind, the sort of scale and employment that you need locally.
Exactly, and that comes down to being in the beginning, you know, doing the manufacturing, doing the R&D, and building up, you know, Irish company expertise. Local people's expertise, And we have the, you know, we have great colleges, right? We have great young people. We have a highly educated, you know what I mean, new generation coming up. It's a huge opportunity.
Yeah. Okay, Barry, listen, thanks very much for taking time to talk to us about your concerns about where things are going. We'll talk again, no doubt, but thanks for talking to me this morning.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you.
There you go. That's Barry O'Sullivan, chair of the Economic Task Force. He was speaking in the Irish Times this morning and came on with us to elaborate on his concerns at what he sees as a lack of urgency and a lack of forward thinking when it comes to developing floating offshore wind off the West Coast. Something that he's convinced will electrify economically the region, will provide real long-term job growth, good high-quality jobs, will reverse the migratory trend of people, young people in this area, to Dublin and the East Coast. And he's seeing a government that are going the wrong direction on it. Perhaps maybe a government that are overly focused and a minister that's overly focused on domestic carbon targets rather than looking at what's needed to happen. And I can't for the life of me understand why the view, as told to the task force by government, that long-term floating or far-out-to-sea floating wind turbines are expensive and risky, and yet a state-owned body, the ESB, is developing, working on a project right now on exactly that off Malin Head in Scottish waters with the Scottish government. They're not standing back and going, ah, that's a bit too risky, let's put it off to 2030. I have to say, and I mentioned, I have a terrible sense of deja vu about all of this. A terrible sense of deja vu. There was an economic task force report done, the Midwest region, including the Shannon Estuary, by Dennis Brosnan about 15, 20 years ago now, nearly, talking about the potential of the region, that it needs to happen. Promises from the government at the time, yeah, we'll get right on this, we'll be working. This was a new report now, published with all bells and whistles in Ardna Crusha Dam last summer. And what's happening? They're putting in a long finger. They're putting the economic, they're letting other countries steal a march. They're not planning for it properly. They're taking 12 months to review the mapping off the Atlantic seaboard. 12 months. That's inexcusable. Inexcusable. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the show. There's comments coming in it. It's a brilliant chance for us to have a major industry located here, keeping people and keeping jobs here. And lots of promises have been made. And here we have a task force report, not exactly sitting on a shelf, but on floating, which is the way forward, which is the technology of the future, and which has the potential to bring down all of our bills. It's not being worked on with any sense of urgency by the government. And that is just not acceptable. If you have a view, get in touch with us on the show, 066 712 3666. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. And by the way, we're not hearing much from our politicians about this either, our senior politicians, on this issue. Lots of talk, lots of rage and anger about other things, but it's something as important as this, there's not much being said. Give us your thoughts on that element of it as well.